2248, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the just with the wicked? Abraham drew near and said, signifies the Lord's thought from the human, which thought adjoined itself more closely to the divine. Wilt thou also destroy the just with the wicked? Signifies the Lord's grief from love toward the human race, and his intercession, urging that possibly there might be what is good joined to them, although they were evil. 2249. And Abraham drew near and said, that this signifies the Lord's thought from the human, which thought adjoined itself more closely to the divine, follows from the things that precede, where the Lord's thought concerning the human race is treated of, thus without explication. That in this chapter, in the internal sense, the state of the Lord's thought and perception is so fully described, and at the beginning, the state of the conjunction of the Lord's human with his divine, will possibly appear to man as if it were not of so much importance. And yet it is of the greatest moment, for before the angels, to whom the internal sense is the word, these things are presented to the life, together with their representatives, in a most beautiful form, besides numberless things that follow from them and bear their likeness, concerning the Lord's conjunction with heaven and the reception of his divine in their human. For the ideas of angels are such that they relish such things above all others, and perceive them as being most pleasant. And they are also enlightened and confirmed by them more and more in regard to the unition of the Lord's human essence with his divine essence. For the angels have been men, and when men, they could not but think of the Lord as a man, and of the Lord as God, as also of the divine Trinity, and form for themselves various ideas, although at that time they knew not of what quality these ideas were. For celestial arcana are of such a nature that although they surpass all apprehension, yet everyone forms for himself some idea of them, for nothing can possibly be retained in the memory, still less enter into anything of thought, except by means of some idea formed in one way or another. And because their ideas could not be formed otherwise than from things in the world, or from things analogous to those in the world, and because fallacies then insinuated themselves from things not understood, which in the other life alienate the ideas of thought, which are then more internal, from the truth and good of faith, in order that such things may be dispersed, so much is said in this chapter in its internal sense about the conjunction of the Lord's human with his divine and about his perception and thought. And accordingly, when the word is read, these things are so presented to the perception of the angels that their former ideas, formed from other sources and from scruples easily springing therefrom, are gradually dissipated, and new ideas are insinuated that are in conformity with the light of truth in which the angels are. This takes place more with the spiritual angels than with the celestial, for according to the purification of their ideas are they perfected for the reception of celestial things. It is known that heaven is not pure before the Lord, and it is a truth that the angels are continually being perfected. 2250. Wilt thou also destroy the just with the wicked? That this signifies the Lord's grief from love toward the human race, and his intercession, urging that possibly there might be what is good adjoined to them, although they were evil, is evident from the zeal of love that here shines forth, and still more in the 25th verse just below, where it is said, Be it far from thee to do according to this thing, to cause the just to die with the wicked, that so the just be as the wicked, be it far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do judgment? The same is evident from the signification of the just as being good. See number 612, 2235. And from the signification of the wicked as being opposite to the just, that is, opposite to good, thus evil. It is likewise evident from these words, as also from the things that follow in this chapter, that there is intercession. The Lord's intercession for the human race existed at the time when he was in the world, and in fact when he was in a state of humiliation. For, as before said, he then spoke with Yahuwah as with another. But of course, in his state of glorification, when the human essence has become united to the divine essence and is itself also Yahuwah, he does not intercede, but has mercy and affords aid from his divine and saves. It is mercy itself which is the intercession, for such is its essence. Verse 24. Peradventure there be 50 just in the midst of the city. Wilt thou also destroy, and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 just that are in the midst of it? Peradventure there be 50 just in the midst of the city signifies that the truths are able to be full of goods. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 just that are in the midst of it? Signifies intercession from love, that in such case they should not perish. 2252. Peradventure there be 50 just in the midst of the city. That this signifies that the truths are able to be full of goods is evident from the signification of 50 as being what is full, from the signification of just as being what is good. See number 612, 2235. From that of the midst as being what is within, number 1074, and from that of city as being truth, number 402. Thus 50 just in the midst of the city means in the internal sense that truths are able to be full of goods within. That there is this meaning in these words cannot be seen from the letter, for the historicals of the literal sense lead the mind in quite a different direction, that is, to different thoughts. And yet that these words are so perceived by those who are in the internal sense, I know of a certainty. The numbers themselves also, as here 50, and in what follows, 45, 40, 30, 20, and 10, are by no means perceived as numbers by those who are in the internal sense, but as real things or states, as is shown, number 482, 487, 575, 647, 648, 755, 813, 1963, 2075. For the ancients marked the states of their church in one way by numbers, and the nature of their computation in so doing is evident from the signification of the numbers in the places just referred to. They had the signification of numbers from the representatives which exist in the world of spirits, where, when anything appears as numbered, it does not signify anything that is determined by the numbers, but the thing or state itself, as is evident from the things that have been adduced, number 2129, 2130, also number 2089, concerning 12, as meaning all the things of faith. It is similar with the numbers which now follow. This shows what is the nature of the word in the internal sense. That 50 signifies what is full comes from its following next after the product of 7 into 7, or 49, so that it is the impletion of this number. On which account there was in the representative church the festival of the seven Sabbaths on the 50th day, and the Jubilee in the 50th year. As regards the festival of the seven Sabbaths, we read in Moses, "Ye shall count unto you from the morrow of the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven entire Sabbaths shall there be, even unto the morrow of the seventh Sabbath shall ye count 50 days, and ye shall offer a new offering unto Yahuwah." Leviticus 23, verse 15. And concerning the Jubilee, "Thou shalt count for thee 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 years 7 times, and they shall be to thee 7 Sabbaths of years, 49 years, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty in the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you." Leviticus 25, verses 8 and 10. Which shows that the 50th is what is full in relation to Sabbaths. Moreover, wherever 50 is mentioned in the word, it signifies what is full, as when it is said that the Levites were numbered from a son of 30 years and upward, even unto a son of 50 years. Numbers 4, verses 23, 35, 39, 43, 47. 8, verse 25. Meaning the full or final state of discharging the ministry. That a man, lying with a damsel, a virgin, shall give unto the damsel's father 50 pieces of silver, and she should be to him for a wife, nor could he put her away. Deuteronomy 22, verse 29, which denotes a full fine and full restitution. David's giving to Aruna for the threshing floor, where he built the altar to Yahuwah, 50 shekels of silver. Second book of Samuel 24, verse 24. Denotes a full price and a full purchase. Absalom's preparing for himself a chariot and horses, and having 50 men running before him. Second book of Samuel 15, verse 1. And in like manner, Adonijah's having chariots and horsemen, and 50 men running before him. First book of Kings 1, verse 5. Denotes full excellence and greatness. For they had from the ancients certain representative and significative numbers which they observed, and which were also commanded in their rites, but most of them did not know what they signified. And in the same way as 50 signifies what is full, and as this number was also representative, as already said, the same thing is signified by it in the Lord's parable of the steward, who said to him that owed the oil, "How much owest thou unto my Lord?" And he said, 100 baths of oil. And he said unto him, "Take thy bond, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Luke 16, verse 6. 50 denoting full payment. As 50 is a number, it indeed appears to involve nothing beyond the number, whereas in the internal sense, what is full is everywhere meant by it. As in Haggai, "One came to the winepress to draw out 50 out of the winepress. There were 20. 2, verse 16. That is, instead of fullness, there was not much. 50 would not have been mentioned here in the prophet unless it had been significative. 2.2.5.3. "Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 just that are in the midst of it?" That this signifies intercession from love, that they should not perish, is evident from the signification of 50 and of just, as also of the midst of it, that is, of the city, concerning which, just above, number 2252, all of which things involve intercession from love, and that they should not perish. As regards the intercession, see above, number 2250, that it was from love is also manifest. With the Lord, when he was in the world, there was no other life than the life of love toward the universal human race, which he ardently desired to eternally save. This is the veriest celestial life, by which he united himself to the divine, and the divine to himself. For Esse itself, or Yahuwah, is nothing else than mercy, which is of love to the universal human race. And that life was one of pure love, which is never possible with any man. They who do not know what life is, and that the life is such as the love, do not comprehend this. This shows that in so far as anyone loves his neighbor, in so far he partakes of the Lord's life. 2254, verse 25. Be it far from thee to do according to this thing, to cause the just to die with the wicked, that so the just be as the wicked. Be it far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do judgment? Be it far from thee to do according to this thing, signifies the Lord's horror. To cause the just to die with the wicked, that so the just be as the wicked, signifies that good cannot die, because evil can be separated from it. Be it far from thee, signifies a greater degree of horror. Shall not the judge of all the earth do judgment? Signifies that the divine good cannot do this after the manner of truth separated from good. 2255. Be it far from thee to do according to this thing. That this signifies the Lord's horror is evident without explication. 2256. To cause the just to die with the wicked, that so the just be as the wicked. That this signifies that good cannot die, because evil can be separated from it, is evident from the signification of just as being good, and of wicked as being evil. See above, number 2250. Hence, to cause the just to die with the wicked is to make good die with evil. As this ought not to be done, and causes horror to think of, it is removed in the internal sense, and then there is presented this: that good cannot die, because evil can be separated from it. How this matter stands is known to few, if any. Be it known that all the good a man has thought and done from infancy, even to the last of his life, remains. In like manner all the evil, so that not the least of it completely perishes. Both are inscribed on his book of life, that is, on each of his memories, and on his nature, that is, his native disposition and genius. From these he has formed for himself a life, and so to speak, a soul, which after death is of a corresponding quality. But goods are never so commingled with evils, nor evils with goods, that they cannot be separated. For if they should be commingled, the man would eternally perish. In relation to this, the Lord exercises his providence, and when a man comes into the other life, if he has lived in the good of love and of charity, the Lord then separates his evils, and by what is good with him, elevates him into heaven. But if he has lived in evils, that is, in things contrary to love and charity, The Lord then separates from him what is good, and his evils bring him into hell. Such is the lot of everyone after death, but it is a separation, and in no wise a complete removal. Moreover, as the will of man, which is the one part of his life, has been utterly destroyed, the Lord separates this destroyed part from the other, which is his intellectual part. And in those who are being regenerated, implants in this intellectual part the good of charity. And through this a new will, these are they who have conscience. Thus also, speaking generally, the Lord separates evil from good. These are the arcana which are meant in the internal sense by the statement that good cannot die, because evil can be separated from it. 2257. Be it far from thee, that this signifies a greater degree of horror, is evident from the words being repeated. Thus it also needs no explication. 2258. Shall not the judge of all the earth do judgment? That this signifies that the divine good cannot do this after the manner of truth separated from good, is evident from the signification of the judge of all the earth, as also from the signification of judgment. The judge of all the earth signifies in the internal sense the good itself from which comes truth, which also in the representative church was represented by the priests who were at the same time judges. For as priests, they represented the divine good, and as judges, the divine truth. But the judge of all the earth means both, and this from the signification of earth, as explained in several places in part first. But to prove these things now from the representatives of that church would be too tedious. Judgment, however, signifies truth, as shown above, number 2235. From these significations, and at the same time from the series of things in the internal sense, it is evident that shall not the judge of all the earth do judgment, signifies that the divine good cannot do this after the manner of truth separated from good. In order to the understanding of these things, be it known that there are two things which constitute the order of the universal heaven, and thence in the universe, namely good and truth. Good is the essential of order, all things of which are of mercy. Truth is the secondary of order, all the things of which are truths. The divine good adjudges all to heaven, but the divine truth condemns all to hell. And therefore, unless the Lord's mercy, which is of good, were eternal, all men, however many, would be condemned. This is what is signified by the statement that the divine good cannot do this after the manner of truth separated from good. See also what is said concerning this in part first, number 1728. That the evil are nevertheless condemned to hell is not because the divine good is separated from the divine truth, but because the man separates himself from the divine good. For the Lord in no case sends anyone down into hell, but the man sends himself, as has been already stated a number of times. In the following respect also, the divine good is conjoined with the divine truth, that unless the evil were separated from the good, the evil would do harm to the good, and would be continually endeavoring to destroy order. Thus, that the good may not be harmed is of mercy. This stands just as in the kingdoms of the earth. If evils were not punished, the whole kingdom would be infected with evils, and so would perish. For which reason kings and judges show more mercy in punishing evils and in expelling from society those guilty of them, than by exercising in their behalf an unseasonable clemency. Verse 26. And Yehovah said, If I find in Sodom 50 just in the midst of the city, I will spare all the place for their sake. Yehovah said signifies perception. If I find in Sodom 50 just in the midst of the city, signifies here as before, if truths are full of goods, I will spare all the place for their sake. Signifies that they will be saved. 2260. Yehovah said, That this signifies perception is evident from the signification of Yehovah's saying in the historical word as being representative of the Lord's perception from the divine and something of thought following therefrom and some reply. Concerning the expression, Yehovah said, see above, number 2238. If I find in Sodom 50 just in the midst of the city, that this signifies if truths are full of goods, is evident from the signification of 50 as being what is full, and from the signification of the midst of the city as being within truth or in truth, as explained above, number 2252, where the same words occur. It may be supposed that a man cannot but be saved if truths are full of goods, but be it known that there are very few truths with man, and that if there are any, they have no life unless there are goods in them. And that if there are goods in them, he is saved, but from mercy. For, as before said, the truths with man are very few, and the goods which are in them have their quality in accordance with the truths and the man's life. Regarded in themselves, truths do not give life. It is goods that give life. Truths are only recipients of life, that is, of good. And therefore, no one can ever say that he can be saved by truths, or as the common expression is, by faith alone, unless there is good in the truths which are of faith. And this good that must be in the truths must be the good of charity. Hence, faith itself, in the internal sense, is nothing else than charity, as shown above, number 2231. As regards people saying that the acknowledgement of truth is the faith that saves, be it known that with those who live in things contrary to charity, there cannot possibly be any acknowledgement, but only persuasion, to which there has been adjoined the life of the love of self or of the world. Thus in the acknowledgement they refer to there is not the life of faith, which is that of charity. The worst men of all, from the love of self for the world, that is, for the sake of being eminent above others in what is called intelligence and wisdom, and thus of winning honors, reputation, and gains, can learn the truths of faith, and confirm them by many things. But still with them these truths are dead. The life of truth and thus of faith is solely from the Lord, who is life itself. The Lord's life is mercy, which is that of love toward the universal human race. In the Lord's life, those can in no wise have part who, although they profess the truths of faith, despise others in comparison with themselves, and who, when their life of the love of self and of the world is touched, hold the neighbor in hatred, and take delight in his loss of wealth, of honor, of reputation, and of life. But the case with the truths of faith is that by means of them, man is regenerated, for they are the veriest vessels recipient of good. Such, therefore, as are the truths, and such as are the goods in the truths, and such as is their conjunction and the consequent capability of being perfected in the other life, such is the state of blessedness and happiness after death. 2262. I will spare all the place for their sake. That this signifies that they will be saved follows from the series as a conclusion, and thus without explication. Place signifies state, as shown above, number 1273, 1378. And therefore it is here said the place instead of the city, to signify that they who are in such a state would be saved. 2263, verse 27. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, I pray, I have taken upon me to speak unto my Lord, and I am dust and ashes. Abraham answered and said, signifies the Lord's thought from the human. Behold, I pray, I have taken upon me to speak unto my Lord, and I am dust and ashes. Signifies the humiliation of the human as to its relative quality. 2264. Abraham answered and said, That this signifies the Lord's thought from the human is evident from the signification of Abraham in this chapter as being the Lord in respect to the human, concerning which several times above. 2265. Behold, I pray, I have taken upon me to speak unto my Lord, and I am dust and ashes. That this signifies the humiliation of the human as to its relative quality is evident. The Lord's state in the human, or his state of humiliation, and the Lord's state in the divine, or his state of glorification, have been treated of several times before, and it has been shown that in his state of humiliation the Lord spoke with Yahuwah as with another, but in his state of glorification as with himself. Number 1999. As in the present passage, Abraham, as before said, represents the Lord in his human, it is said in that state that relatively to the divine, the human is dust and ashes, on which account that state is also called his state of humiliation. The humiliation results from the self-acknowledgement that one is relatively of such a character. By the human in this place is not meant the divine human, but the human which the Lord derived from the mother, and which he utterly expelled, and put on in its stead the divine human. It is the former human, namely the maternal human, of which dust and ashes are here predicated. See what has been said above at number 2159. 2266, verse 28. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 just. Wilt thou destroy all the city for 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 just signifies if there should be somewhat less. Wilt thou destroy all the city for 5? Signifies, shall man perish for the little which is wanting? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. Signifies, that he should not perish if good and truth could be conjoined together. 2267. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 just. That this signifies if there should be somewhat less is evident from the signification of 5 as being a little or less, in regard to which signification of this number, see part first, number 649. What the 50 just signify has been shown above, number 2252. 2268. Wilt thou destroy all the city for 5? That this signifies, shall man perish for the little which is wanting, is evident from the signification of 5 as being a little, as just stated, and from the signification of a city as being truth, also explained before. In regard to the truths in it, the human mind is compared in the word to a city, and is also so called. And in regard to the goods which are in the truths, it is compared to the inhabitants of the city, and the goods are also so called. For the case as regards these is much the same. If the truths which are in man's memories and in the thoughts of his mind are devoid of goods, they are like a city without inhabitants, and are in the same way vacant and empty. Nay, even of the angels it may be declared that when a man lives in love to the Lord and in charity toward the neighbor, they dwell, as it were, in his truths, and insinuate affections of good from the Lord. For they are delighted to dwell thus, that is, to live with such men. Very different is it with those who are in some truths, but in no goods of charity. 2269. And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. That this signifies that man should not perish if good and truth could be conjoined together is evident from the signification of the number 45 as being conjunction. It has been already shown that the simple numbers retain their signification even when they are multiplied, and that consequently the greater numbers have a signification similar to that of the less. And such is the case with 45, which number is compounded by the multiplication of 5 into 9, and as it has been compounded by the multiplication of 5 into 9, it has the same signification as have 5 and 9. That 5 signifies a little was shown above, number 649, and that 9 signifies conjunction, or what is conjoined, number 2075. And thus the signification here is, if goods have in some measure been conjoined with truths. That in the word numbers signify actual things or states is evident from what was said about 50, number 2252. Also from what has been shown before concerning numbers, number 482, 487, 575, 647, 648, 755, 813, 1963, 1988. It is because 5 signifies a little and 45 conjunction that the very setting forth of these numbers in this verse is of such a nature, for it is said, peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 just, and by this is signified, if there should be somewhat less. And then it is said, wilt thou destroy all the city for 5? By which is signified, shall they perish for the little which is wanting? For as 5 signifies a little, this number is not employed again, but it is said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. By which is signified, that they would not perish if good and truth could be conjoined together. The reason also of its being said here, 40 and 5, and not, if there lack 5 of 50, is because 5 not only signifies a little, as was shown, number 649, but also signifies disjunction, as was likewise shown in part first, number 1686. And therefore, in order that not disjunction, but conjunction might be signified, this number 45 is named. For 45 denotes some conjunction, as stated above. And thus, in the internal sense, all things follow on in a beautiful sequence of their own. As regards the conjunction of good with truth, it is an arcanum which cannot be described so that it can be grasped by the ordinary comprehension. It must be told in a few words. The more genuine and pure the truth, the better can the good which is from the Lord be adapted into it as its recipient vessel. But the less genuine and pure the truth, the less can the good which is from the Lord be adapted into it. For they must correspond to each other, and the conjunction of the two is effected according to the correspondence. Goods cannot possibly be insinuated into falsities, nor evils into truths, as their recipient vessels, for they are of a contrary character and nature, the one casting out the other as its enemy. Nay, should they attempt to conjoin themselves together, the one would spew out the other, that is to say, good would spew out evil as if it were poison, and evil would spew out good as if it were an emetic. Such enmity between good and evil has been provided by the Lord in order to prevent the possibility of their being commingled. For if they were commingled, the man would perish. In the deceitful and in hypocrites, they are not far from being conjoined together. But still precautions are taken by the Lord in order to prevent their being so conjoined. This is the reason why in the other life those who are deceitful and those who are hypocrites suffer things more direful than those which are suffered by any others. Verse 29. And he added yet to speak unto him, and said, Peradventure 40 shall be found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. He added yet to speak unto him, signifies thought, and said, Peradventure 40 shall be found there. Signifies those who have been in temptations. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Signifies that they shall be saved. 2271. He added yet to speak unto him. That this signifies thought is evident from the signification in the internal sense of speaking. To speak or speaking is nothing else than that which flows forth from the thought. And as internal things are signified by external things, like understanding by seeing, the understanding by the eye, obedience by the ear, and so forth, so thinking is signified by speaking. 2272. And he said, Peradventure 40 shall be found there. That this signifies those who have been in temptation is evident from the signification of the number 40 as being temptations, explained in part first, number 730. How these things follow on in a series may be seen from temptations. Temptations take place to the end, not only that the man may be confirmed in truths, but also that truths may be more closely conjoined with goods. For man is then battling for truths against falsities, and as he is then in interior distress and in torment, The delights of the life of cupidities and their derivative pleasures come to a cessation. And then goods flow in from the Lord. The consequence of which is that evils are at the same time regarded as abominable. And the effect of this is new thoughts of a nature contrary to those possessed before, to which the man may afterwards be bent, thus from evils to goods, and these goods be conjoined with truths. And as the conjunction of good with truth is effected by means of temptations, and as it has been said in a former verse that those would be saved with whom goods can be conjoined with truths, therefore there follows what is here said, and indeed in such words as to signify that goods and truths can be conjoined by means of temptations. This is the connection of the subject matters for those who are in the internal sense. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. That this signifies that they will be saved is evident without any unfolding of the meaning. As regards those who in the preceding verse are signified by 45, it was said, I will not destroy it if I find 40 and 5. And the signification was that they should not perish if goods were able to be conjoined with truths. And there here follows a statement concerning the 40. I will not do it for 40's sake. By which is not signified that they should be saved on account of temptations, for there are some who even undergo temptations and who yield in them. And therefore with these, goods are not conjoined. I would even say that a man is not saved on account of temptations if he places anything of merit in them. For if he does this, it is from the love of self, in that he congratulates himself on their account, and believes that he has merited heaven more than others. And at the same time, he is thinking of his own preeminence over others by despising others in comparison with himself. All of which things are contrary to mutual love, and therefore to celestial blessedness. The temptations in which a man overcomes are attended with a belief that all others are more worthy than himself, and that he is infernal rather than celestial. For while in temptation, such ideas are presented to him, and therefore when after temptations he comes into thoughts contrary to these, it is an indication that he is not overcome. For the thoughts which the man has had in temptations are those to which can be bent the thoughts which he has after the temptations. And if the latter cannot be bent to the former, the man has either yielded in the temptation, or he again comes into similar ones, and sometimes into more grievous ones, until he has been reduced to such sanity that he believes he has merited nothing. Hence it is evident that by 40 are here signified those with whom by means of temptations goods have been conjoined with truths. And he said, O let not my Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure 30 shall be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, O let not my Lord be angry, and I will speak. Signifies anxiety concerning the human race. Peradventure 30 shall be found there. Signifies somewhat of combat. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Signifies that these shall be saved. 2275. And he said, O let not my Lord be angry, and I will speak. that this signifies anxiety concerning the state of the human race may be seen not so much from the words as from the affection that belongs to them. The internal sense of the word contains within it two things, to wit, what is spiritual and what is celestial. That which is spiritual consists in their being comprehended, abstractedly from the letter, actual things to which the literal sense serves as an object, just as do those things which the eye sees, when they serve as objects for suggesting thought about matters of a more exalted nature. That which is celestial consists in their being solely perceived, the affection that belongs to the actual things that are in the internal sense. In the former are the spiritual angels, in the latter are the celestial angels. They who are in the latter, that is, in the affection, perceive at once from the affection alone what the letter involves when it is being read by man. And from it they form for themselves celestial ideas, and this with endless variety and in an ineffable manner, in accordance with the unflowing harmony of the celestial things of love that are in the affection. From this we may see what the word of the Lord contains within its remote recesses. When therefore these words are read, "Oh, let not my Lord be angry, and I will speak," the celestial angels at once perceive a certain anxiety, and indeed the anxiety of love toward the human race. And at the same time there are insinuated into them innumerable and ineffable things in regard to the anxiety of love which the Lord felt when he thought about the state of the human race.